too want to welcome you here this morning and this time of worship. I appreciated the message this morning that Brother Frank shared. He talked about how we're on this walk, that the Christian walk is stepping and moving forward, and that we don't know everything, but we want to be faithful in the things that the Lord shows us and grow in the knowledge of Him. That's what we want this morning. And I, too, want to just share this morning again some of those things and look at this walk that we have before us and the things that Christ has given us, has already given us, and that He wants us to work out and be faithful in that, and to find out what is important to God, who God is, and that we partake of that nature of God Himself. I thought I'd read some verses here in Colossians chapter 1, just as a greeting. I was sitting there reading that this morning. And it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I always enjoy how these epistles, they start with this greeting and this blessing. "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, and it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth." So that's what happens to us when we see the grace in this knowledge and love of the truth that we find in God towards us, and then it transfers to others. I read an account the other day of a teacher. The student comes to the teacher and he says, "I've given my life to Christ. I'm faithful. I believe." And he had a question for the teacher. He said, Why does God hide Himself? Why doesn't He reveal Himself physically, that we can see Him, that I can see Him for who He is, that I can feel that security and that nearness to Him, that He's right here with me?" The teacher thought about it for a while, and he said, "Take the whole ocean, this big body of water, and if you think about a fish swimming down in that water," and he told the little story of a little fish asking the mother fish, "Mom, tell me what water is. What is water?" And this fish was, wiser fish was thinking, "Well, how do I explain water to this little fish when he's completely engulfed in water? He's swimming in the water." And I think that's how it is with us sometimes. This fish would have to actually take this little fish out of the water and show him maybe Niagara Falls or a running tap water to explain that's what water is. But I think that's how it is with us sometimes, that we are so part of God, but yet we want to physically see with these eyes. But yet it's a far deeper thing to have the Spirit of the living God within us. If you think about a baby in the womb, that child will never be closer to the mother, never have more security, never be more part of the mother, and yet that child has no idea what the mom looks like. So I think that's how it is, where we just start meditating on that and realize that in all reality, that it's a far greater reality when we live by faith in God, realizing that we are in God, that Christ is in us. I think about the apostles, just like that little fish. They were asking Jesus, "Show us the Father. It's sufficient for us. It'd be very good for us if we could see God the Father." And Jesus Christ is trying to teach them and explain to them that these works that I am doing, it flows from the heart of God. And He's trying to teach them that is that work, and they would be doing these works of God. Yesterday, as I was starting to put my drip system on my trees, things have been so dry. In one of our fruit trees, it always blossoms real early. It starts letting out. And I started hearing a noise, and I walked over to the fruit tree. It looked like popcorn, all the blooms coming out, an apricot tree. And I heard the buzzing of these bees. It was full of honeybees. And as I just sat there, I just watched these bees. You could get real close. When a bee is at work like that, he's of no threat. You could go completely up to him. He won't do nothing. And I was watching what they were doing and thinking how God had, there was a creator behind all of this. That these little bees take out that nectar and that pollen and different things, and that it's all taken care of. It's been so dry, there's hardly any flowers, and these bees are coming to these flowers. And I was thinking about Francis of Assisi. He said, just like this written word here, the Bible, he said nature and creation was the Bible as well. It teaches us the ways of God. And that's how he viewed creation. We see God in creation working. And then some of these things in life, they start making a little more sense that we're confused in and don't quite understand. And I thought about how through all history, since the fall of man, how man has wanted to put God in an area where he can contain him. And Jesus, one day as he was walking there and he meets a Samaritan woman and he tells her these deep things of God, these deep truths that you were actually worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And the spirit, Jesus explained, it blows around like the wind. You take borders that man makes, creates, and this wind just blows right over the borderline. It has no borders. And I thought, that's how God is, that God is infinite. You cannot contain him. You cannot put him in a box. The message this morning is hope to others, that we, as believers that have a living hope in us, we are that hope to other people. If you look around the news today and you look around the world, you see people trying to hold on and grab onto something that is steadfast, that they can hold on to, and that they can have this hope. And they want a solid foundation, something they can build on. And you see this in the church, and you see it outside as well. People not fully trusting, you could say, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a brother the other day, and he was sharing about this verse that says in Romans 5:5, it says that there's a hope that does not disappoint. Have you ever noticed that in life as you go along, you're building and you're walking, and these things that you have built on, they become disappointing. You get disappointed in the end when you see the reality of what it is. But here it says there's a hope that does not disappoint. I think it's very important that we understand that there's a hope and a solid foundation that will never, ever disappoint. And it says in Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, look what it says. It says the love is the ruling factor. It's ruling our hearts. So I have the question, why is it so many times that we're disappointed, that we can be disappointed in things? And we find everything starts to crumble and fall. It's because of that foundation that shifts. It was the Apostle Paul that was so sure of himself and that had been building and building, and one day he found everything crumbled, and he was Everything he had built on was so disappointing, and he seen the reality in the life of Jesus Christ, and everything changed. And from there on, he was actually persecuting Christians, and from there on, he shared this living hope to other people. Everything changed. Everything changed for Paul. There was a very interesting experiment that a man did. What he did is he took a room, had it on film, and they did this experiment of how we are as people. He brought in four actors into a room, had a row of chairs there, and he sat down these actors, and they were filling out an application or whatever they were called in there to do. And then while they were working on their application, someone behind the wall, he hits a little a bell, like you would see at a motel or at a store when you want to get the clerk's attention. And then the actors would stand up, and then they would do the bell again, and then they would sit down. And then they brought in other people that didn't know what was going on. And they had one person sit down, and the bell would ring, and these actors would stand up. And then this person was looking at these people. Why are you getting up? He actually thought it was funny. And then they sat down when the bell rang again, and then waited a while, and she was filling out her application. She thought she was filling out for a certain application. The bell rang again, and then she slowly started getting up. And then the bell rang, she got down. By the third time, she did it automatically already. She got up and sat down. And then as they brought in more people, the influence got greater and greater, and it was almost an automatic. And then what they did, they took out those four actors, they took them out of the room, and then when the bell rang, everybody got up, they hit the bell again, and everybody sat down. And I think that's how we can be. And I think it's a good thing that you want to be obedient, but the message behind it is that we listen to the right bell. It is the leading of God himself. And that's why teaching is so important in our life, that we have this living hope inside of us that does not disappoint. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you." This living hope that is within us, we should be able to share with others. And it says, in meekness and in fear. So with that, what I want to use this morning is Matthew chapter 25, if you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 25. It's actually what I had in the last message of the Sermon on the Mount. I wanted to finish it there, and I wasn't able to, and I wanted to share these verses. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God here. He starts in Matthew chapter 25 of about these five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins, how the five foolish don't have oil in their lamps, but they're all given lamps, and the five wise have oil in their lamps. And then he goes on and he shares in verse 14 about the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Notice how he delivers the goods to them, the talents, that everyone is given talents, that God puts it in there. And then, I'm not going to go through it, but he gives these talents, and then from there, it's what we do with these talents. And it makes a huge difference of what one does with a talent and what the other one does. And it's not a matter of how many talents, it's what they do with them. So then he goes on, and I want to read, it's several verses, but I want to read verses 31 through the chapter. I think it's 15 verses. And this is what Jesus says before he goes to the suffering on the cross of what it will be like on Judgment Day. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And then the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, you did it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. I personally did a little bit of research to see on how people, what's important, how people view things, and you will rarely, these verses will very rarely be preached. And I thought it interesting. It spoke to me. As a Christian, I believe this should be a flow in our life. Like I said, it's not how much you do, but that you have that in you, that you are doing something in this realm, because it's the heart of God. And I was thinking that there's so many things that come above this right here. We talk about the works of God, where Jesus said the work of God is to believe in the Son. But what does the Son do? What does the Spirit do in our life? That is the question. Last week I shared about how it is in us, how God gives us that talent. It says that He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Like it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it's amazing if you think about how clear Christ makes it here and how little it's actually part of the gospel. I remember reading or hearing a story of someone in a far country helping the poor. It was a little town that they could hardly get to. And they brought food to this very, very poor place. And there was a little girl taking care of her two little brothers. They were so weak because of their malnourishment of their bodies. And they gave the food to this girl, or to these little, her little brothers, and they couldn't even really move. And she was so hungry herself, but she took that food, this cracker, and broke it and gave it to this child, to her little brothers. And I believe that is the gospel. That is the love of the truth in our hearts. Would it not be? And if you look here where Jesus starts saying how it will be, he says it's like a goat and a sheep. If you know anything about goats and sheep, a goat will always use his head and force his way to the top. I heard someone say once that as we're climbing this spiritual ladder where we believe we're becoming more Christ-like, he said, you might want to be careful. You might be passing Christ on his way down. Because we see Christ, that he identified himself with the suffering of the world. He identified himself with those hurting, with those needing help. He said he came for the lost, to save that what was lost. And then you think about a sheep. A sheep is, they say, is one of the most simplest kind of a dumb animal. And going back to that bell, that illustration, that's kind of how we are. But it needs the right shepherd to be led. We need leading, but it's the Jesus is the good shepherd. If you take a sheep, I think about sharing the gospel or reaching out to those that we would call lost. Jesus gives the illustration about a lost sheep, how he goes out and he finds it. And if you take something that is of no value to you, a worthless pen, if you lose it, it's missing and you won't ever even think about it again. But if you have something of great value, you say, it's lost and I'm going to go find it. I've lost my wallet, and you don't stop until you find it because you have great value. There's valuable things in there that are not easily replaced. And so, and that is how Jesus shares about lost sheep. And I thought about it, that's how we are when we look to other people. It's sheep, we are sheep ourselves, but we look at other people and we say, they have lost their way, and I want to help them back on this path that they need to be on. That a sheep is of great value. If you think about Christ when he came to this earth, think about how man had portrayed God, who God was, who the Heavenly Father was. They had separated themselves so far from the other people around them that you could say they made a dividing line. They made a circle, and they said, we are inside the circle, and everybody is outside. And it was kind of that view that the Apostle Paul had. But if you think about this line that they had made, they themselves had separated themselves from Jesus Christ. From the work that Jesus Christ was doing, they had separated themselves. It was such a strange work to them that they couldn't understand why he would do this. And what I wanted to bring out with that is that Jesus identified himself in the suffering of this world. And I believe that is what happens to us. There in the Gospels, if you read of, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, that word perfect there is so close to the word compassion that Mark, I believe, in the Gospel of Mark, he uses that word compassion. It doesn't mean to be without blemish or anything. It means to have that heart of God, to be walking in compassion. That's what that means there, that word perfect. I remember hearing of a missionary that would always be in these camps where people were dying of diseases and different things. And as she was holding the head of this person dying of this disease, she said, I got this feeling that Christ himself was looking back at me. And I believe that's what it is. Because Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. You ever thought about that? We might look at it and we say, God is nowhere near that. But Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Not that you are doing a good thing, but you've done it unto me. That's how important it is to partake in that suffering that Jesus also seen. He's seen the suffering of the world. I remember when I gave my life over to the Lord, I started reading the Bible I never read before. And